So we've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount and being part of the kingdom of God. And whenever we think of being part of the kingdom of God, it's that Jesus is, you know, if you can imagine Jesus there on this mount, and he is outlining a whole new concept for the people, the Hebrew people. All they've known is the Pharisees and the scribes, their teachings. And their teachings were laws, restrictions, do this, washings and ceremonial things, and all these specific laws that the people had to do in order to be right with God. While Jesus is talking to them, he says, you have heard this about explained to you by the Pharisees and the scribes. And then he says, but I want to tell you this. So in our life, it's important. I think of that in the sense that we look at our life and we wonder, oh, this is no good, oh, that's no good. And we look at it within the framework of who we are, what we know, our experiences, our upbringing, all that. We look at it, and Jesus could say that to us. You have heard, and this is how you normally think, but I want you to tell you, I have this. I want you to listen to this. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 26, we have, you have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, I just thought I'd stop there for a moment. It's a special word that we'll talk about. So, stupid's okay, but an idiot, no. No, stupid is not okay. Rhonda would be throwing things at me now. So if you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar of the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifices at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. When you are on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you will be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid the last penny. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But Jesus is not speaking of it's almost like there is a justified anger, all right? There is something, anger is a very legitimate emotion. When you're angry, I always likened anger to a missile. Anger is a missile that lifts off. It generally comes because we've been hurt or misunderstood. We have some painful event, what somebody said or not done or not done. And so the rocket takes off and it's anger, okay? Now, it can go in the direction of healing or it can go in the direction of destroying. So Jesus is talking about the anger that sets you off to destroy. And there are, there is a good, as it were, anger that we deal with issues and deal with concerns and deal with the things that hurt us. So that's kind of the good anger. So he is condemning the act of judging another out of anger. That's the important thing. Judging someone out of anger. The base cause for the desire to harm or kill another person is judging them out of anger. So, I don't think I need to explain that. So, well, let's read again verse 21. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. So we, as being part of the kingdom of God, we belong to Christ, we are his child, our names are in his book of life, and these are characteristics that Jesus is telling us, okay, you have heard, okay, the crowd that he's speaking, you have heard This is what the Pharisees and scribes have told you, but I say this. So this kingdom righteousness begins inside and flows outward. It begins in our heart. There are new rules in God's kingdom. You have heard, and Jesus, but I say, anger can be as deadly as murder. That's what he's tying this to. The quotes are from Exodus. The quotes are from Exodus 20:13 and Deuteronomy 5:17. Jesus was not altering the terms of the law. So when Jesus, you know, we spoke about last week how that Jesus has come to fulfill the law and the prophets. He didn't come to abolish them. So this is still going on here, that he didn't come to abolish them. Rather, he was correcting what they had heard. So the law stated the irreversible nature of a divinely imposed sentence of death. So if someone killed another person intentionally, the Bible said that they were to be killed. Their life was to be taken. And if they were killed someone accidentally, they were banished to a city of refuge. And they had to live there until the high priest died. So that was their sentence. So taking a life was not something that was permissible. And even accidental taking of someone's life, you still were banished to a city and you couldn't leave that city. And if you did, the person, the family of the individual that you killed, they had the right to kill you. And then they had to be banished. So it's a crazy thing. So Jesus equates anger with murder in God's eyes. Why? Because murder begins in the heart. Hatred, bitterness, contempt. So when we're looking at this, people just don't, well, in today's society, people do. They just kill people for no reason, random acts of violence. But we find that Jesus is saying that the heart is where hatred and bitterness originate. And you have heard, but I say, moves the command from action, which is murder, to attitude, which is anger and insult. So we see how that there is a switch going on here for how that this is to work inside of us. So God is concerned with our attitudes. An attitude of gratitude. Be grateful in all things. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we find that God is telling us and instructing us to have an attitude that isn't defiling. Why? Because being able to build yourself up in your faith and have a positive outlook, and it's not just positive thinking, it's positive faith that God is with me and that no matter what happens in my life, God is with me. So there's an attitude of expectation. God is going to do good. Good is going to come to my life. Amen. Good is coming to my life. Yes, there we go. Thank you. So the intent is that we examine our hearts. Is there something going on in there that is brewing? Unresolved resentments or simmering anger towards someone. So kingdom living then is about a heart level holiness. And we just sang about it. Holiness is not merely avoiding sin. Holiness is not, see, The definition of holiness is separation from sin, okay? And there are churches and groups that they separate themselves by their dress, by their attitude, by where they go and things that they're just totally separate. They are a society unto themselves. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. But we find that that they've taken this heart level holiness to be an expression of outward how they live and walk and talk and how, you know, what they drive and ride and you know. But we find that heart level holiness is not just separated from sin. They look at it as being separated from the world, that which is around them. We find that heart rated holiness is that we separate ourselves from sin, but in the same token we are close to God. We are close to God. He is our friend. He is our Savior. He is the one who walks with me and talks with me, tells me I am his own. You see, we have all these things going on in this relational experience, and that's what this holiness is about. If you call someone an idiot, I know you were all waiting for this one. If my wife were here, she'd be telling me, you shouldn't say that. I would tell her, it's in the book. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of fires of hell. These two words speak of how this application is to be used. Idiot is like calling someone a godless fool. You don't have enough sense to trust in God. A godless fool. And to curse someone, you're in danger of hell, is basically saying you have just and lawful cause to be angry. And what has happened is you have taken that just and lawful cause and you've taken it in the wrong direction, which will, out of one's anger and being out of control of your emotions, you've blown up all over somebody what you've done is lost control. And the Bible is saying you're in danger of hell because you can't allow your pain and your sorrow to cause such outburst. We cannot perfectly control our heart on our own. That's the key. People find themselves blowing up and whatever. Only through Christ can our hearts be renewed and can there be this strength of character to hold or to keep in check those experiences that come into our life. So one of the things that I always try to remember is that Jesus on the cross, what does he do? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So if Jesus had any, if there was any person who could be angry, it could be Jesus. They scourged him, hung him on the cross, were gambling over his clothes, and they were mocking him and saying, if you are the Christ, come down. And Jesus, who is God, says, Father, forgive them. So the extent to which Christ was able to control, to know his heart, he was able to look at them and say, Father, forgive them. Then there is verse 23. If you are offering your gifts at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Most of the time we read that and we switch that around. If you're at the altar and remember that you have something against somebody, you go and make it right. But this says, if you're at the altar praying and you remember that somebody else has something against you, go make it right. Then come with your gift. So Jesus is reminding us that broken relationships can hinder our relationship with God. If we have a problem or grievance with a friend or they have a grievance with us, we should resolve the problem as soon as possible. We should try to make a way to have the problem resolved. And our attitude towards others reflects our relationship with God. So when we're thinking of our relationship with God, he has forgiven us. We have done wrong, we have sinned, broken God's law, whatever we've done, and God has forgiven us. See, it's that God, he did no wrong, and what did he do? He came to us to forgive. And what's this saying? If you are at the altar and you remember somebody has something against you, you go to them, just as God has come to you. See, what we're doing is reflecting what God's grace and mercy has done in our own life. And it takes God to reveal God. It takes God to help us. You're not going to do this on your own. We're not going to have a class on 10 steps to better anger management. There was a movie on that about anger management. But the guy, he was tied to a pole on a sailboat. And he's, look, I'm sailing. And the psychiatrist was pulling his hair out. Anyhow, That was a long time ago. So reconciliation honors God. Being reconciled honors God. We are honoring God by our actions, trying to make it right. So what else is Jesus saying? He says, take the initiative to reconciliation. I always pause at this one. Don't wait for the other person to come first. How many times, I wrote it down so I said it right. How many times have you heard, I didn't do the wrong, they did, and they have to apologize first? It's not my fault. Yeah, that's it. It's not my fault. I'm not going to them first. They have to come to me. Why? If the unwritten assumption is, if I apologize first, that means I was the initiator of the wrongdoing. Nope. I am the initiator of reconciliation. Well, what if they don't want to be reconciled? Okay. If you give a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord to somebody and they throw it on the floor, you see, our responsibility was to give it. What they do with it is their responsibility. Now, if you go up and throw it in their face, that's different. Don't do that. You are not reconciling. You are pouring fire. You're pouring gasoline on the fire. So if you have this if you have these situations, and there are, so you try to reconcile, try to get things mended and back together. So the title of this message is The Kingdom Righteousness and Anger. Kingdom righteousness is proactive. Being part of the kingdom of God is proactive. We are actively engaging. We're actively going on. We're actively pursuing relationships and following Christ. This is what Christ has done for us, so therefore we are following in his footsteps, and we're not trying to do it on our own. We're asking God for help and direction and wisdom. All right? So that is proactive, and it is humble, and it is loving, and it is forgiving. So the next one is verse 25. Settle the matter quickly with your adversary, or you may be handed over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you thrown into prison. Okay, what does that mean? Well, in Jesus' day, someone who couldn't pay their debt, they were thrown into prison until their debt was paid. Okay? And unless someone came and paid the debt, they would die in prison. So you had to be very careful about borrowing, and that's whenever people, they sold their kids and family to pay debts, and you know, to their debtors. And so, but we find here, it is a practical advice to resolve our differences quickly, because we know that sometimes differences are like poison. They fester. And so when things fester in relationships, they're generally not healing. So Jesus is emphasizing the urgency in resolving conflict. It's better, you know, if there's something going on that's wrong, you try and deal with it immediately. But, you know, sometimes people aren't ready to deal with it immediately. And so it's a difficult process sometimes to deal with problems and that aren't even ones that you've created. So have wisdom and guidance in talking with the individual, and if they're not ready to resolve, you resolve it. As far as I'm concerned, it's forgiven, it's done, and we're going to move forward. What you do with it is up to you. But you don't put that in their face and say, you're not righteous as I am. I know families that haven't spoken to each other in 20 years. Yeah. I don't always think of, but I think of the funeral that I had 10, 15 years ago, in which the police had to be there. They had to separate the the wife's family from the husband's family, you know, and they were, they did not have differences that were healed. They had differences that were festering, and they were not interested in resolving their problems because it wasn't their problem to begin with. See, they each blamed the other for what went on. So the kingdom of God is marked by peacemakers. And peacemakers are those who go towards the conflict to help people bring it back together. There again, being a peacemaker, you got to know when it is the right time to step in and when it is time to back off. Because many people are killed in these brawls that break out between individuals. And it's like they're trying to resolve it and they end up being killed in the process. So peacemakers go toward conflict, bringing reconciliation. And if people aren't interested in reconciliation, we have to have wisdom enough to back away and go from there. The application is don't let anger or offense, wrongdoing, grow. Anger, pain, and fear is a tripod that always travels together. If someone is angry, they are in pain. And there is fear in their life. So whenever you're dealing with one, you've got to recognize there are two other things that need to be dealt with. And so they're not always angry. They are fearful. And they're fearful of what happened or what didn't happen. So it's not complicated. It's just be aware that people don't think like you do. I didn't hear any amens. I want you to count the amens, okay? Okay. The heart of the kingdom righteousness. The heart of the kingdom is righteousness. Kingdom righteousness is internal, not just external. It begins in our heart. It requires honesty with ourselves and God about our anger, about our pain, and about our fears. Remember, perfect love casts out all fear, displaces fear. The love of God, how measureless and strong. See, we look at this and all of these problems that we have in relationship, if we're grounded, hopefully grounded in the scriptures and grounded in God's love, and we become like Jesus, that by his grace and mercy, we are changed and on the inside we're different. So Jesus bore the ultimate reconciliation by taking the sin upon himself upon the cross. He who knew no sin, or he who had no sin, became sin for us, that we would be able to receive his righteousness. See how this works? That if you have aught against someone, or someone has aught against you, wrong, go to them. The initiation is God initiating that in your heart. And talk to them. Well, what goes on in our life? We're the ones who have sinned. What did Jesus do? He went to the cross to initiate forgiveness. Then he brings that forgiveness to us, and we get to respond to it. That's why our faith is a choice. We're choosing to follow Jesus. We need to recognize how that God has given to us many problems, many difficulties, many answers. But as we're going through life, we find that he has a purpose and a plan. Because of his sacrifice, we can forgive and be reconciled to others. I am reconciled. I am in a right relationship with God, so therefore I can be in a right relationship with others. Anger left unchecked can destroy relationships, hinder our spiritual growth. It's like an infection that spreads and weakens the body. So anger can weaken your spiritual person. Kingdom righteousness is not measured by avoiding murder or insult. It is measured by love, humility, and the pursuit of peace in every relationship. You know, sometimes when you're talking to people about coming to Christ and knowing Jesus as their Savior, confess your sins. Well, I never killed anybody. I didn't rob from anybody. I'm not a thief. So it's like this category of anger and murder. people put it in a position, I didn't do this, so I'm not that bad. Well, the challenge is that all liars have their place in hell. All fabricators. The idea is that there is none righteous. There's no one righteous in their own being. We have all sinned and come short of God's glory. The challenge is, can we allow God to forgive us to build that a righteousness that belongs to God inside of us? We are His. He is ours. We're together in this. And we have an eternity with Him. So kingdom righteousness begins in the heart and flows into reconciliation. The law and the prophets, all of these things come down to Jesus telling us, you have heard, but I say. What is Jesus telling us? It's in your heart. It's in your heart. Begin with your heart. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Love as you have been loved. Allow God to work in your heart and life. So this righteousness begins in our heart. Don't wait to deal with anger. Don't wait to reflect Christ's love. Walk in peace. Let not your heart be troubled. That was Wednesday night, John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Worried about heaven? Let not your heart be troubled. Worried about death? Let not your heart be troubled. You're worried about circumstances, going back to school? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is telling us, you have heard. It's bad, it's this, it's that. Don't worry. Let not your heart be troubled. God is with you. Amen? Amen. Jesus, we thank you for being with us in every situation. Let not our heart be troubled. Lord, let us look to you as the author and finisher of our faith. Let us allow you to do the work in us as you want to do by your Spirit. So we ask you, Lord, to bless our lives, to bless our conversation. And Lord, if there is anything in our heart that is not pleasing to you, if we have resentment or bitterness, Lord, make us aware of it in a way and help us to deal with it in a way that finds healing in relationships and restoration in our relationship with you. We are grateful, Lord, that you died for us, that our sins could be forgiven, and your righteousness could live in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.